Good morning, everyone. Look out over the audience this morning, and I see that we do have visitors with us, and I want to reiterate and welcome you to our assembly this morning, and we're grateful that you're with us. Some that have been absent for a while and are back with us, we're grateful that you're able to be out as well. As was stated in the Lord's Supper, there is a day this month that people hold more dear than just about any other day of the year, actually, when we think about Christmas. And has been my habit, at least, over the last several years, coming to the month of December, I plan on preaching about Jesus. And we've looked at several things in the past concerning different names that we can find in the Scripture that have been attributed to Him. We've actually looked at lessons and talked about Jesus as Counselor and Wonderful and Prince of Peace. We've talked about those things. Last week, we talked about Jesus, our Lord, and we think about Jesus in many different ways. And the Scripture describes Him. The Old Testament, the New Testament talks about Christ. And so at this time of year, when people are thinking about Him, we should be talking about Him. We should be addressing who He is and what He means to us and the type of people that we should be if we are going to be His disciples. And in this particular lesson, I want to do some of that. I want us to look at things from the Old Testament, things in the New Testament that describe Jesus as our sheep. And then we're going to talk about what His role is as our shepherd and then our responsibilities to Him this morning. So I want you to be thinking in those terms along this way. I appreciate Greg and the couple of songs that he led about Jesus our shepherd. And I appreciate everyone's comments last week about the lesson last Sunday. But I want you to think right now, just turn your mind back to the Old Testament for a minute. We think about Jesus and we think about all of the prophecies concerning Him. Well, we generally think about the prophecies concerning His birth or His death. But there were other prophecies concerning Christ, and especially in His role as shepherd. And I want you to consider some of those this morning. You think about this. In Isaiah chapter 40, if you'll turn there with me for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. We understand that the announcement of Christ was going to be glad tidings to the cities of Judah. But I want you to listen to how Isaiah records this for us. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. He starts out, "O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm. He will carry them in His bosom, and gently lead those who are with young." When we think about what we've read a little while ago in John chapter 10, we get the picture of Jesus when He talks about Himself being the good shepherd. You know, really within that particular context of John chapter 10, there are two I am statements in there. I am the door and I am the good shepherd. That are lessons in and of themselves. But in the Old Testament, we hear of the shepherd coming and what he was going to do. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 10, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock." He's going to feed them as a type of David. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23, it reads, "I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." Well, by the time Ezekiel wrote this, David was no longer alive. And so we know that it had to be talking about somebody else and pointing toward Jesus Christ Himself, who we know is the seed of David, the Son of Man. And we know that it's going to be established over them as one shepherd. And so we look at the Old Testament and we see prophecies that begin to foretell of a shepherd coming. And we come to the New Testament and we see those texts where we read just a little while ago where we hear of Jesus being the good shepherd in John chapter 10. That is one of the things that stands out about that. Who will bring other sheep into his fold? He is the good shepherd. You know, so he is the chief shepherd. Peter describes him in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, he's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd. That is something that easily, when we think about him in those terms, we think about Christ and who through his blood makes us complete. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." What I see and what I see in Scripture, Old and New Testament alike, is the subject of shepherd. And the subject itself is very revealing. And you think about it, it pictures in many ways the blessings that the sheep are going to enjoy because of the shepherd. And it does some other things too. It also reminds us of our responsibilities as sheep. What responsibilities do we as sheep have toward the shepherd? And so I want to talk about those things over the next few minutes with you this morning. And we can, I believe, from the text that we've read this morning and other places in Scripture, we're going to glean many things concerning Jesus as our shepherd. Now, we get a picture of an Old Testament times of men out in the field, don't we? And spending the night out in the field with their sheep. We've seen pictures of sheepfolds, and that's something that Jesus describes in John chapter 10. And I've had pictures up on PowerPoint before with of a sheepfold in the past. But it's the thing that stands out about this. What is the shepherd? Who is he, and what is he going to do? Well, John chapter 10 revealed several things that the shepherd was going to do for us. And one of those things that he states in that text was he's going to give his life for the sheep. He gave his life for us. We see that in John chapter 10. But I want to suggest to you that this was something that was also prophesied concerning Christ. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones." Well, what's that talking about? Well, we're in the study of the life of Christ right now, and we're getting close to the time where Jesus Christ is going to be crucified, and he's going to warn his disciples that this night you're going to be scattered. Well, that's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" And we know that once Jesus Christ is arrested, that did take place. Not everyone followed him to the high priest's home. I know that John very likely did, and Peter did, but we don't have any record of any of the other apostles doing that. We know what happens with Peter. He ends up denying Christ because of what's going to happen to him. But we know that this shepherd, as he tells us in John chapter 10, was going to give his life for them. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." All of those things that when we think about talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the matter is he was born to die. And as a shepherd, he understood that responsibility of his being the shepherd of the flock was going to take him to the cross, was going to take him to put him in that position of dying for the sheep. Now, he did that. His death was a means of protection for us, if we get right down to it, if we think about it, a protection for our souls. And I want you to think of this. He is able then, because of his giving his life to us, he's able then to offer eternal life to the sheep. You think about protection and what the shepherd is going to do. And we're going to talk more about this too, in fact. But look at this. He is able to offer eternal life, abundant life. John chapter 10 And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is verse 28. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. But in John chapter 10, in those first 16 verses, he talked about abundant living. Well, when is that where is that abundant living going to take place? It's going to be with that eternal life that's given to us. This good shepherd, this great shepherd that we have, Jesus, our shepherd, is offering security to those who continue to believe. He's offering it to those and understanding that in that there is security, that as long as they continue to believe, no one will snatch them from the hand of God. And even though one can fall from God, and we see that in Hebrews chapter 3, we understand too that if we remain faithful, we'll receive that eternal reward. We often quote Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 when we talk about those types of things. Because be faithful unto death and you shall receive a crown of life. I hear the Apostle Paul when he's writing to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 4 about a crown of righteousness. James talks about that very same thing in his epistle. There is reward for those who remain faithful. And it's all because of this shepherd, Jesus, our shepherd, who gave his life for us. Through the shedding of his blood, we have forgiveness of sins. The remission of sins, which could not happen by the blood of bulls and goats. But the one perfect sacrifice, the one perfect shepherd, the great shepherd, was willing to give his life for his sheep. What it really proves to us then about our shepherd, Jesus our shepherd, it proves to us that he cares for us. We sing a couple songs, Does Jesus Care? In our song, we sing a song like that in our songbook. Well, that song goes on to say, oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. Well, how do I know he cares? Well, he tells us in Scripture. He reveals that very thing to us back in John chapter 10 and verse 3. You see how Jesus cares for his sheep. Excuse me. Try to reel that cough in here just a moment. I want you to look at verse 3 with me in John chapter 10 again. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's care. That's tender, loving care is part of that. He leads them. If Jesus didn't care about his sheep, he would not lead them. He would not provide this sheepfold for them. He wouldn't be the door or sit at the door of the sheepfold for them either. But he cares. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to throw a lot of scripture at you this morning, so bear with me. Now I want you to think about this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Listen to the Apostle Paul. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He cares. Having gathered us into one fold. And what he's stating there in John chapter 10 and verse 16, he's talking about the inclusion of all men now. What this shepherd did when he brought all men into his fold, including the Gentiles, is he tore down walls. Walls that separated Israel from the rest of the world. And you think about that. You go to Ephesians chapter 2 for just a moment. And you look at verses 13 and 14. And there you find out, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What did this shepherd do? He was going to draw all men to him by going to the cross. And in doing so, verse 14 of that text says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. What once divided men is no longer there. Through Jesus Christ, our shepherd, we can all be one. But I want you to look at John chapter 10 for just a minute. Go back there. And I want you to pay attention to some more blessings from our shepherd. Because we know he is willing to give his life for us. We know he cares for us. But then in John chapter 10, we find out just how all of this really works, because in John chapter 10 and verse 14, we find out He knows us. You know, that's the responsibility of the shepherd, is to know his sheep. He's to know which ones are sick, which ones are needing of help. We know he needs to know which ones are strained to go, so he can go out and find them. He knows needs to know which ones are healthy. But the thing is about our shepherd, he knows us. He knows if we are following him. And that's a blessing when we think about it. And if we follow him, what takes place? Well, verse 9 of John chapter 10. That good shepherd feeds us. You know, we sang a little while ago, the Lord is my shepherd. And when we think about Psalm chapter 23, we think about that shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. You know, he leads me to green pastures. He leads us to places where we can be fed, to where we can find drink. Those things that can satisfy and soothe us and calm us at the same time. And this shepherd, that as we look at this and see how he does this, then in verses 3 and 4, I know I'm going backwards a little bit here on this, but in order for him to be able to feed us, what does he do? He guides us. He leads us. Part of this is going to show our responsibility to him here in just a little while. But think about this. The sheep, they hear him. They recognize his voice. He cherishes us tenderly. Back in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, when we looked at that a little while ago, we noticed that. But I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. How does he cherish us? Well, I say he cherishes his sheep like a bride. When you think about that, and you think about Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 29, the husbands there are instructed to love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands, when you think about this, and you keep reading to verse 29, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. He cherishes his sheep, the church, his bride. And then he's going to protect it. He's going to preserve it. There's where he's willing to lay down his life. Go back to John chapter 10 for just a moment. And I want you to look a little bit further down in that chapter. I want you to look at verse 28 and 29. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than I, than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's really protection. When you think about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is provision of all things that we need. Jesus Christ is our shepherd, has given us those things that allow us to live in this world today. Those things which will actually protect our souls. Those things that will help us persevere in this life so that we can live eternally with Him. Those things that encourage us. Those things to help us move on. Those things that can strengthen us. All of those things we understand we're not doing by ourselves. We're doing them because of the provision given to us by our great shepherd. And I believe that the blessings that our shepherd gives us are wonderful. And I believe you do too. They are wonderful. And just by going back and rereading the Psalm, the 23rd Psalm on your own time, think about the blessings. A little while back in November, we did a lesson on blessings and being thankful and count your blessings. Count your blessings that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Count your blessings that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Count your blessings that He is wonderful, that He is a counselor, that He is the Prince of Peace. Count your blessings for all the ways that you can find Him be described within the Scriptures. And then realize that our great Shepherd is still leading us. And as He is leading us, we have some responsibility to Him. And so, think about that. We have the responsibility of heeding His voice. Remember, in John chapter 10, it said, He talks to His sheep, and His sheep does what? They know His voice. Here's the thing. They don't just recognize His voice, they listen to it. And when I say listen to it, they are paying close enough attention that when He's calling, they're following. You think about that. Those two things. John chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, he is not physically with us. And I know that he's not calling my name right now, and I'm physically hearing it. But through his word, he has called Brian Lockmiller out of the world and into his kingdom. Through his word, each one of you in this audience this morning, as his children today, as his sheep today, you may not have heard a whisper in your ear or something like that, but you've heard his voice through his word. And what have you done? You've heeded it. You've listened to it. You've obeyed it. And what it means then is his sheep, when they listen to him, will follow him. See, that's one of the things about the shepherd. If he's going to lead them into those greener pastures, if he's going to lead them beside those still waters, they have to be able to follow, and they follow his voice. One of the things about sheep that you'll notice is they are not prodded, they are not goaded, they are not herded like cattle from behind. The shepherd is always out in front of them. And they recognize the shepherd, and they won't follow anybody else but their shepherd. The sheep need to be able to recognize the voice of the Lord. We do that when we spend our time within His Word. And within His Word, and we look at that, and we follow it then. His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. See, the thing is, He recognizes us because we recognize Him too. Or we should be recognizing Him as well. There was a problem with the children of Israel, even though Israel had been told before that they were going to have this great shepherd coming. Many of them rejected Jesus Christ as that shepherd. They were not doing what? They heard His voice, but they were not listening to it. They did not follow it. For the child of God today, it is necessary for us to be listening. And the reason we listen is so that we can follow. And so Jesus expects His sheep to be paying attention, to be willing to follow. You think about this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. This is an indication that Jesus was not being followed. There He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You can hear the voice and still not be obedient, still not follow. And that is what's dangerous for us today. And think about this in the Great Commission. Jesus stated that all power and all authority had been given to Him. And let me suggest one other thing to you too. Within that Great Commission, and the disciples were going to go into all the world and they were going to preach the gospel. But there was the assurance there that Jesus was going to be with them even to the end of the age. That's the sign of a good shepherd. He doesn't leave His sheep alone. He's going to be present. And there's the need for us then to continue to hear and follow His voice. And we do that today by heeding His words, heeding the words of the apostles. Because when we receive them, that means we receive Christ. And what I mean by receive Christ in that is we have accepted what they've taught because He taught them that. In John chapter 13 and verse 20, He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives Whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. There's a chain that goes from that. Because who did Jesus send out into the world? He sent his disciples out into the world. You receive them, receive the teachings that they provide. What happens? That means you've accepted them as the teachings of Jesus. Not only that, who sent Christ? The Father. It keeps us in perfect unison. It keeps us united. It keeps us in fellowship with God and His Son when we do this. And the early church, it continued steadfastly in those doctrines. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in prayers, the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. And they taught the commandments of the Lord. The apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, he said this: if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. And here's the thing. Those commandments, he just didn't simply make them up on his own. The shepherd promised his disciples that they would not be left alone. He sent them a helper. John chapter 14, 15, and 16, which we're going to be getting to here shortly in the study of the life of Christ, that helper was going to guide them into all truth. He was going to bring them into remembrance of all the things that Jesus taught them. And listen, go back to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and listen to that great commission again, because what he taught them, he said that you're going to be baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he's also taught them, said, you're going to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that's what Paul said he was doing for the church of Corinth. That's what we should be striving to do. Are we following the shepherd by heeding his voice? We hold to his flock. See, he created one flock. That was Old Testament prophecy again. It's John chapter 10 and verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. We see that again in Ephesians chapter 4. We understand that. There is one body, one spirit, just as you are called, in one hope of your calling. Those ones that are mentioned there, one Lord, one faith. You think about all that. That one Lord, our Lord, He is our shepherd. And He strove, and what He did by being our shepherd, He united people together. And we should strive then, according to Ephesians chapter 4, strive to maintain the unity of the faith, the unity of the flock. Jesus prayed for it in John chapter 17. He died for it, Ephesians chapter 2. And so how do we do that today? By heeding the voice of Jesus and not of strangers. John chapter 10 and verse 5. By maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 4. So are we, as sheep today, doing our part to make sure that the flock is being preserved as one? Look around the world, the religious world in general. It seems to be that they represent multiple flocks instead of just one. But there's only one shepherd, our shepherd, and we are to follow him. And then he did leave us people to be able to help us in this life. You know, in Ephesians chapter, in the book of Ephesians, he talks there about apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. There were people that were left behind so that this unity could be maintained. The apostles are no longer with us. But some of the others, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, they are. And one of the things that helps us keep this flock united and remain sheep in the sheepfold is by following those men that the shepherd, the chief shepherd, has left behind to lead, feed, and protect us. He has left elders and congregations to guide his flock today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. We're to respect them. We should listen to their voice. Now, if they become strangers, and that's always a possibility, then we stop listening to the voice and stop following. But as long as they are following the voice of the Savior, then we listen to them. We follow them. Because their responsibilities are just like the great shepherds, to lead, feed, and protect us. Their duty is to oversee. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 28, the Apostle Paul, when he's talking to the elders at Ephesus, warned them of the difficult times that were ahead and the things that were going to be necessary for them to do to protect the flock that was among them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 again, tells them that the shepherds have a responsibility over a flock, a local body of people. And see, Jesus expects then his sheep to respect his shepherds. I got a little ahead of myself right there. Jesus expects his sheep to follow or respect his shepherds. And I want you to think about that. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Remember them. And I'm not just saying in passing, remember them. Remember them because they're working now. Remember them because they are providing the things that are necessary to protect your soul even today through God's Word. And to esteem them highly in love and be at peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And so are we helping? Are we hindering? Or are we hindering our Lord's shepherds today? Because those shepherds, they're still sheep. They're still sheep in the flock. They're still submitting to Jesus, our shepherd. But are we helping or hindering? We always have to be on the alert. We always have to be careful. So yes, wonderful are the promises for those who follow Jesus, our shepherd. In the book of Revelation, it reads this in chapter 7. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from?" And I said to them, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." We're about to sing a song of invitation. There's a fountain free. Our shepherd is leading us to that fountain. He did it by giving His life. He did it by warning us of those things that were to come. He did it by providing a means that we can walk a path following Him. He also gave warning of a time when the day that He would return. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31, this picture of final judgment, where Jesus separates the sheep from the goat. I think I've got the picture up there right. The sheep are on your right, or are they on your left? They're on my right. I'm looking back there. They're on my right on my screen, so they should be on your right up there. And the goats to the left. Those who did His will, basically those who heard His voice, He describes what they did. And even those, the sheep, when they hear this, the righteous, when they hear this, they didn't understand how they could have done it to him because he wasn't with them there. He let them know that basically what they had done is they'd heard his voice. And they did it to those who were of his little ones. His sheep. Those who were part of his flock. Those who were of his kingdom. The goats, on the other hand, didn't heed his voice because they didn't do these things that he talks about in Matthew chapter 25. And they're separated. The righteous, the sheep, eternity is theirs. Eternal life with God is theirs. Punishment for the goats. Eternal condemnation. Eternal punishment is theirs. So which side will you be on? Will you be on the side of the sheep? Or will you be on the side of the goats? I suggest to you it all depends on whether we listen to and follow our great shepherd. Take out your songbooks. There is a fountain that is free, and it is for you, and it is for me. But it is our shepherd that leads us there. Will you follow him? Because there's water of life that is ours to have if we do. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we encourage you to become one. Because what you will do then is you will make Jesus your Lord, you will make him your shepherd, and you will continue to follow him if you do those things. But you have to heed his voice first. It is Jesus Christ that said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." It is Jesus Christ who said, "Unless you repent, you'll perish." It is Jesus Christ that said, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father." Those are his words. And if we're going to heed his voice, we're going to do and be obedient to his commands. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. No, it's not washing dirt off the skin as you go or dip buried in baptism, but it is the removal of your sins so that you can have a good conscience toward God. If you have that desire this morning, we stand ready to assist you. Everything is prepared for that. But if for some reason you've lived your life like a goat, that life can change. You can reconcile your life. You can start listening to his voice again and become a sheep again. But you have to repent of what's kept you from him. If you're willing to do that, he's faithful and just to forgive you that unrighteousness. If you need the prayers of the congregation to help along that way, we stand ready to assist you. But will you take advantage of that free fountain? Will you take advantage of the fact that the shepherd, our shepherd, loves you, cares for you, and because of what he's provided for you, you can live with him eternally? Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?